Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Laura. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We are going to discuss the latest episode of Once Upon a Time. Curious thing, the latest episode of Once Upon a Time. So let's start off with thumbs up, thumbs down, somewhere in between. And Karen, you can go first.
Okay, definite thumbs up. I haven't been on the last couple of weeks, so I just want to say really quick that last week was probably my favorite episode of Once Upon a Time ever. It was so good. So this one had a lot to live up to, but it felt very much like it was in the same vein, so I really, really enjoyed it. I think all the character moments were really good, and Regina is definitely my new favorite character. I love her so much.
Okay, Kristen?
I absolutely loved this week. It's definitely a thumbs up for me. I'm kind of like Karen, that I liked last week a lot, so it definitely had some living up to do, but it was good, so I enjoyed it.
Awesome. And Laura?
I'm doing like the full Kermit the Frog, like Muppet whale. Like, I loved the episode. Totally loved it. I agree with Karen that I felt like last week was my favorite episode, and I think this week may have kind of topped that one, particularly with Neil. I was like flailing in like where I was watching it and everything, and I was like, yes, 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 and my husband is looking at me like I was a crazy person, and I was just like, I love this show. I was so happy.
All right, I say it's definitely a thumbs up too. I really enjoyed the various things that they threw at us this episode. Like, there were so many things I never saw coming that were just like, oh, hey, by the way, you had this question, here's the answer, and it's not anything you ever suspected. So I thought that was fantastic. Really, really loved it. So let's talk about some of our favorite quotes, because there were some fantastic ones this episode. Laura, do you want to go ahead and start?
Sure. I just love this because I thought it's just so true. David's, you know, in there like rifling through Mary Margaret's closet looking for Henry's storybook. And he goes, why do women keep their shoe boxes? And Mary Margaret goes, because after true love, there is no more powerful magic than footwear. It has to be protected. I'm like, that is so true. Like, it really is. Nothing makes me happier than shoes. So yeah, agreed.
Shoes are definitely very powerful magic. Oh my gosh, I loved that moment, and I loved how serious she said it. Like, it, yeah. She
yes!
was not joking.
But it's so, like, I just, like, baby rant, I have like a wide foot, and it's just like so wonderful. Like, when I find a shoe that doesn't look like it's orthopedic, I'm like, I'm not crippled. I just want a stylish shoe. So yes, shoes that fit well and look gorgeous are love. So that's it.
My favorite was between Snow and Regina. Snow says, Regina, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you look smitten. And Regina replies, if I didn't know any better, I'd say Haagen-Dazs is smitten with your stomach. First of all, the fact that Snow is calling someone else out on looking smitten is hilarious to me. And second, knowing that Haagen-Dazs exists in Storybrooke and that it's a big thing, like, it's big enough that Regina knows about it and is in love with it, that just makes me happy. So it's all positive, amazing things from me.
Can I just say, like, how bad I feel for poor Ginny Goodwin, because she just looks so swollen and bloated every episode. I mean, I understand she's pregnant, but I feel like I just want to go, oh, honey, because I just feel like she just looks so uncomfortable. You just feel bad for her.
Very true. Very true. And Karen, which one was your favorite quote of the week?
Well, since Kristen stole mine, I'm going to have to go with, my name's Grumpy, not stupid. One, because Grumpy's just always hilarious and his delivery is always perfect. But two, Grumpy and Regina going back and forth is probably the most hilarious thing on the show ever. I mean, Regina's been on fire these last couple of episodes, but I just really love their, like, antagonistic relationship. It is so funny.
Very, very true. Mine both come from Zelina because she is just Little Miss Sass, and she's so very wicked. And some of the things she says, you're like, oh, you could see why her and Regina would be related in that sense, I think. So I have two, actually. The first one is Zelina says to Hook, why haven't you used those luscious lips and kissed Emma? And Hook says, well, a fellow likes to be courted. And then the second one is, pay attention, sis. This is how you take away a happy ending. And it's just so mean and sarcastic and yet so very on point. Like, I love Rebecca Mader, who's playing Zelina. I think she's fantastic. She plays her just enough. Like, she's not too caricature of what the Wicked the Witch should be. Like, she's just enough. And she always has some really fantastic lines. So those are my favorites this week.
I totally agree, because she could be really over the top, and it's just enough that it's kind of funny and you never really know what she's going to do. But at the same time, like, she's a pretty scary villain and she's very intelligent. And I think that's something that a show like Once Upon a Time needs, because when you get too far into those caricatures, it just gets kind of really silly and not that scary anymore. But they've done such a good job with Zelina.
I also like, for a show that's known for its villains, I mean, first of all, we had, you know, the Regina and Rumpel, like, which one is the bigger villain? Like, I felt like that was most of season one. And then season two, I felt it was all about, like, Quora being the villain. And then it was sort of like, well, is Hook, isn't Hook? And we had then Peter Pan, you know, and now we have Zelina. And I feel like, you know, it's a show that brings a lot of, you know, baddies on, and each one is very different and very unique. And I think that's a pretty big credit to the writers, that they are able to do so many different versions of evil, and can evil be redeemed? I think that's a fantastic job that they do.
Yeah, I was going to say, even when she's green, Rebecca Mader still manages to, you know, I don't even notice it. Like, it doesn't stand out. It's not something that gets in the way for me. And it's just like gold being gold. Like, when it doesn't bother me, because it's just a part of the character. And it just, I love the way she's playing Zelina right now.
Me too. All right, so let's get into the episode. It starts with a flashback, and it's of Philip and Aurora admitting to Snow that Zelina is after her baby. So they kind of have to come clean on the fact that they knew that Zelina was after them from the beginning, because Zelina basically went to them and said, you will tell me when Snow returns, and she threatened to harm them if they didn't. So they kind of own up to that. And as a group, because Belle returns and says, you know, Neil's gone. He's been killed, but we have gotten Rumpel back. But Zelina got Rumpel. She managed to get the dagger. And so Belle kind of fills them in on everything that's happened since she and Neil had left the group. And they all decide the only way for them to really figure out what to do next is to break into the castle to talk to Rumpel, because the only person that they can think of that could help them is Rumpel. So we kind of move into the future, or back to Storybrooke, shall we say. And Regina decides that they all need to get their memories back to find out what Zelina is after. Because other than that, they don't really know what to do with Zelina at this point. Because they figure if they know maybe why she set the curse in motion, what it was that she destroyed or that she loves the most, it will help them figure out how to defeat her. And that comes into place later in such a big way. So the biggest thing they decide out of that conversation is that Henry needs to get his memories back. And did anyone else think, finally, they're going to give the kid his memories back?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So they have to find the Storybrooke. And so everyone asks Snow, well, what did it happen? You know, how did it come about last time? And Snow's like, it was just there. Nobody knows where the storybook comes from or who writes the storybook. Nobody seems to know anything about it except that it's just there. So that's really interesting still, that storybook still has a really kind of unknown history to it. Or nobody seems to know anything else about it except that it just appears. So they go on a search for the storybook, okay, which I thought was super interesting. So while they go to search for the storybook, right before they do, Emma and Henry kind of get into a fight, and it's kind of vicious. And Emma basically tells him, you're going to do this because this is what I'm telling you to do, which is not Emma's way at all. Were you guys surprised by the argument she had with Henry?
Yeah. Like, I was like, whoa, Emma, it was like an argument. Like, I could see Emma putting her foot down, but it was like the, I'm your mother because, and I told you so. I was like, whoa, way to channel your mom. That was like a new one for Emma, I felt like.
Yeah. I actually didn't believe it. Like, I thought she was doing it on purpose to make Henry feel lonely so that the storybook would appear to him or something like that. Like, I thought the whole thing was sort of like contrived, and then come to find out later that she really did snap at him. It was really, really out of character. And I think that it does make sense because she was really frustrated about the whole situation, but I was really surprised too.
Yeah, it almost seemed like Emma was pulling a Regina. Like, you know, I had flashbacks to Regina telling Henry, this is what's best for you. Like, I know what's best for you, just over and over again. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a little bit crazy. So, yeah, it was definitely really weird.
Can I just say, though, how much I loved Henry and Jared Gilmore? I'm like, whoa, sass in your mom, cop in an attitude, hot wiring a car. I'm like, our little baby Henry's growing up. Next thing you know, he's going to bring an inappropriate girl home. Like, just, I was like, whoa, Henry is grown up. I just kind of loved it.
You said inappropriate girl, and I thought of Red, and that's just wrong.
Oh, God. My mind wasn't going there. I just,
it like, is you just,
I know, oh my gosh, but you just know, like, that has to take place at some point. Like, you know, he can't be like little aw golly gee shucks Henry. Like seriously, he has to start noticing like girls or guys. I'm open to that too. He could start noticing guys too. But like hormones, people, hormones, surely it's kicked in or kicking in.
Okay, so from that scene, he goes out, like Laura said, to kind of steal his mom's car, which is a big move, and Hook manages to intervene and says, you know, I'm not really sure you're ready for the open road after one driving lesson. And as you all remember, that driving lesson ended up in a broken signpost, so I'm sure it wouldn't have gone very well. So Hook convinces Henry that he'll help him, but he can't take the car. Which is interesting. So Hook goes down to the pier with Henry, and he decides that he's going to let Henry set sail with Smee, which in and of itself presents some issues. Was anyone else a little nervous about allowing Henry to go off with Smee?
I just loved that Henry recognized it, like Peter Pan, Mr. Smee, and like, Hook's like freaking out, like, back up, gotta figure it out. How am I gonna cover my tracks?
Like, you remember?
Hook's like, no,
please watch the movie. Backtrack right now.
Oh man, like, it was so funny.
Not for nothing, but does he not question if Hook has some kind of weird pirate fetish at that point? I mean, the guy is all in leather with the little leather thong up vesty thing with no undershirt, and he's walking around like a la Michael Jackson with one leather gloved hand. I mean, does he not start to question at that point? I mean, obviously he questions shortly thereafter, but I mean, still, it's like, really?
I don't know. He was in New York. There's some weird people in New York. Maybe it just doesn't bother him.
He's a reenactor or something. Like, he just always walks around like that.
But they call him... Oh, no, they've been calling him Killian.
Yeah.
Okay, so right, wait. Yeah. I'm like, wait. No, they've been calling him Killian, so that's how they get away with it. All right. I don't know. I just thought that part was so funny. And Smee's like, oh! No, don't talk about it. So Hook tries to set this plan in motion, thinking that he's going to save Henry, that he's going to protect Henry. Because Zelina basically kidnapped Hook, had him in the trunk of a car with Rumpel, and was like, listen, you either do this or people will die. So she's once again threatened Hook that he needs to take Emma's magic. And so in his mind, he's doing the right thing because he's trying to protect Henry. it doesn't necessarily mean everyone else is going to think he's doing the right thing. But in Hook's mind, he's really just trying to help. So what happens next is that before he can get Henry onto the boat with Smee, a lovely barrage of flying monkeys comes in. It's like the flying monkey army.
Did you ever think you were going to say those words, a lovely bunch of flying monkeys?
No, I didn't.
Can I say, though, like, just, like, he opens the door to someplace that obviously he's been before. It's a boathouse. It's wide open to the elements. Like, opening the door didn't do anything. I literally, once they ran in, I was like, I'm screaming at the television. It's a boathouse. They're going to fly in the boat slip. And my husband's like, what? I'm like, it's a boathouse. That's not secure. And he goes, and even my husband looks at me, he goes, well, they could just come right on in the boat slip. I said, I know. And then sure enough, we have like monkeys, like they spend so much time opening the door and closing it. I'm like, worst hiding place ever.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't the best plan either. So.
No, but I was just like, really?
They're
all looking at the door like, we're safe now. I'm like, dude, look to your left because it's in frame on camera. Look to your left. But anyway, I don't know. That just struck me.
I don't know. So anyway, from there, the flying monkeys begin to attack and Henry's all kind of like, what the? Because he does not have his memories back yet. And that's just totally freaky to him, as it, you know, should be. From there, Hook starts firing at the monkeys and destroying them, which is slightly concerning. And then Smee tries to get Henry out of there, but a monkey comes in right as the monkey is about ready to grab Henry. Emma comes in, guns a-blazin' as well. Charming has his sword out, so Henry is all kinds of like, what the hell is going on? You have guns, you have swords, I am so not okay with this. And Regina's got fireballs. So, I mean, that was it. Like, she let loose on those monkeys. And so Henry had no, like, he had no choice but to have to accept that something was not quite right with this family of his.
Yeah. I just want to know who they destroyed.
I know.
Right? Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That kind of concerns me.
There was some listener feedback from Melissa who says, was anyone else worried they were possibly killing off some of their friends when they started shooting the flying monkeys?
Like, yeah. Sorry, Aurora. Sorry, Philip. You know, you're no more.
Yeah, I don't think it was them. It could have been Little John, though, sadly.
Aww.
Or let's hope it was Walsh.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
He kind of deserved it. So that's kind of where we're at with that. We have this situation where now Henry's like, somebody best start explaining because I'm gonna have a mental breakdown. And Emma brings the book over to him. Oh, one thing I meant to mention about the book. When they go to search for the book, Emma searches in the suitcase and can't find it. Seconds later, Snow searches in the suitcase and finds it. So do you guys think it has some connection to Snow in some way?
I do, because for a second there, I was like, no, I started to doubt that, like, maybe Emma was just making it up. And then I'm like, no, we really legit saw. Like, she searched in there. So, yeah, I legitimately do feel like it has a tie to Snow. But I've got no clue how that works at all.
I think it might have a tie to Snow. But I also think that it's because Emma was really reluctant to find it and get Henry's memories back. I mean, It is a magic book, so if she didn't want to find it, I don't think it would have shown up.
It does make me wonder who wrote it. Like, are they somehow related to Snow? Is it, you know, her mother, or is it enchanted to her family, or something like, you know, like it'll only appear to her? I don't know. But it did make me question who may have been the author.
Right. Because, I mean, I know I felt like a really long time, and I think a lot of us did, that maybe like August had written the book, and that clearly was not, or at least I assume that was not the case. So Yeah, like how does it suddenly materialize or add to itself, or, you know, how does that all work?
I miss August.
So do I. He was one of my favorites. Miss him a lot.
He's wood.
I know.
And a small boy.
And a boy. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, he's not wood anymore. Didn't they change him just to
that's
a little
true.
Boy?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, they changed him back to a little boy, which, you know, is, you know, kind of regretful on many levels, but anyway.
Yeah. my thoughts exactly. But the thing with Snow that I think is another possibility is she's always been one of the ones with the strongest belief. And I think that that's sort of how the book operates. I mean, they said that pretty explicitly, like, we just need to believe and we just need to need the book and it'll show up. And she's always been like the most positive out of everybody. So even if it doesn't necessarily have a connection to like her and her family, I think maybe it could have a connection with just like her positivity and that sort of thing.
Possibly. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if we ever get an answer to that, because I feel like that has a lot to do with the overall story that they're trying to tell in some ways. Do you know what I mean? Like, on Lost, they always had that one little thing that you didn't ever really have the answer to until the very end, and it this kind of feels like it's it, but I don't know. We shall see. So, from there, as the monkeys are defeated, Xelena shows up. And before, the idea is that Emma will kiss Henry, and that will break the curse. Like, she'll give him the kiss on the forehead, like, she'll let him in, it'll break the curse. So, before Emma can do that, Xelena sweeps in and grabs Henry. And she's basically threatening to kill him. Regina tries to make a move on her, and she, like, zaps her back and knocks her out. So the only person left that can really do anything is Emma. And Emma does this weird, like, squatty thing, and all of a sudden, there's light everywhere. And that's what, it, like, almost burns Xelena.
Yeah, it was like Bug Zapper Emma. I was like, what is she doing?
Yeah, the squatty thing was weird. But it burns Xelena. She releases, you know, Henry. But of course, she gets in the parting shot of that, you know, if Hook had just done what he was supposed to do. So now she basically, like, casts this very dark light on the Hook, and everyone's very suspicious of him. So they go, you know, Xelena goes on her way, and Henry's left there. He has his memories. He believes again, and he has his memories. So he goes running to Regina, and it was like the sweetest moment with him calling her mom again and trying to like get her to wake up. Like, it was just so perfect, because, you know, Regina's struggled this whole entire time having Henry not remember who she is. So the fact that he does remember and he runs to her right away and very much cares for her is so just, it's so sweet.
And I absolutely love how it wasn't one or the other. It wasn't like he was preferring Regina over Emma, and that they weren't like, I mean, I think Emma probably had some feelings about him running to Regina and everything, but it wasn't a focus and it wasn't like an issue. And that's something that I think they've done plenty of times in the past with them sort of fighting over, okay, who's his real mom and that sort of thing. And the fact that they didn't concentrate on that was just such a relief.
Yeah, there are kind of bigger things going on with that wicked witch running around.
Yeah.
So from there, we have Regina kisses Henry on the forehead. And when this happens, all of their memories come back. So it wasn't Emma that was meant to break the curse this time. It was Regina's true love. And I just think that is so wonderful.
Oh, like, so
that Regina,
good.
I know. And I don't know if anyone, I definitely didn't see that coming. So
no.
The fact that Regina gets to be that person is so amazing. I loved it. I feel like her character's finally come around full circle. Like, she's the one who cast the curse, you know, way back when that started all of this. Now she gets to break the curse. And I think it's so amazing.
It is so amazing. I love her character so much. And I love the fact that she's not necessarily, like, a good guy. Like, she's not like a goody two shoes, you know, she's not Snow White, but at the same time, she's really trying very hard, and she's got that sort of mean streak still, but like, they've done such a good job of making her character so three-dimensional, and the fact that she was sort of the savior this time just speaks volumes, and I definitely didn't see it coming either, and I'm really glad that I didn't, because it was just such a good surprise.
I also really like that they're playing with the other version of True Love's Kiss. Like, we already know that Robin Hood is a potential true love for her. We know that from Tink and all of that, the flashback from, you know, a while back. But she can also have true love with her son. Like, she is truly, you know, in love with her son and happy that he is safe and back and all of that. So it just, I like that they're playing with that version of true love as well.
They did it before Frozen did it.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, but it's all Disney kids. All Disney all the time. All right, so we go back into a set of flashbacks after that. Once they get their memories back, we also get their flood of memories to see what really happened. Probably, and I could be wrong for you. Well, actually, I'll go in order. So they go and they find Rumple, and Robin Hood kind of helps them get into the castle, even though Regina is very reluctant. And her and Robin Hood still kind of carry on this very... They have a lot of animosity between them for whatever reason. And it primarily comes from Regina knowing that this is Robin Hood. This is the guy with the lion tattoo. Oh my God. And kind of her panic. So it's very back and forth with them. They go, they talk to Rumple, and Rumple says in his very golden-faced, rhymy, sing-songy voice that they need to speak with Glinda, and that Glinda's been banished to the north. Did you guys get that? Was it just me? Right, she's the witch of the south, but she's been banished to the north?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, very odd that she's banished to the north. And so he says that only the pure of heart can see them, or see her. So they travel up to see where she is, and only Snow and Charming can get in to see her. Regina can't get in because she's not pure of heart.
She was so pissed.
She was really not happy about that, right?
I like her going, oh, it's just a cheap cloaking spell, and she gets right through, and I'm like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, it was not okay. She was not a happy bunny. So they speak with Glinda, and Glinda says, you know, I'm not powerful enough. And she says, you know, she and I used to be friends. Did anyone else have a flashback moment to Wicked? Anyone at all?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Totally. Oh, definitely.
Because I was like, oh, are we going to get a number? Is there going to be some
singing
coming out? Come on.
I'm waiting for her to start singing Popular.
I was like, come on now. So we have that moment, which would have been fantastic, a little sing-song. Anyway, so she's talking about how she was so powerful that she didn't have a way to control her magic. So Glinda gave her an amulet or a pendant that she wears around her neck that actually holds the magic so that she can control it better. Glinda also had on the same amulet, but hers was like a diamond. But Zelina's is green. She wears it everywhere. So the idea is you have to take the amulet from around her neck, and only light magic, the strongest light magic, can protect them. So that's the whole idea of what needs to happen. Now, Snow realizes that the only person that has that much light magic is Emma. And Emma's not with them. So, the most brilliant move that this show has probably ever made, and that I don't know if anyone actually saw coming, is that Snow White enacts the curse. Did you guys all go like, what now?
Yes. That was so crazy.
I didn't think she was going to do it. I thought someone was going to step in, like walk into the room and say, like, I know what you're doing, or I can't let you do this, and was going to jump in and save the day, and somebody else was going to enact the curse. But it didn't happen. And I was waiting for it and waiting for it. And I'm like, what? And as this, the whole thing's going on, I'm just like, that's not happening. Wait, hold on. So it got me by surprise.
Yeah. And when like she had the ash from his heart in her hand, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, did she really just do that? This has to be a trick of some sort. And it wasn't.
Well, my other concern was, because we hadn't gotten to the part where we knew what happened with once he, like, died, quote unquote. So my bigger concern was once they got their memories back in Storybrooke, was he going to collapse? Like, I was a little concerned for Charlie.
Yes, yes. I was wondering, like, okay, so, like, is this, like, Neil 2.0? Like, I was seriously wondering what was going to happen there.
That would have been horrible.
there's a brief point in time where I really wondered if somebody was acting as charming, like with some sort of like cloaking spell, you know, when we didn't know if he was alive. I was like, is somebody like, is that not charming? Are they pretending to be charming and have infiltrated? Like, I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
That didn't even cross my mind, and I'm really glad that it didn't, because that would have stressed me out big time.
Oh, I was for a while until they, you know, figured out the solution. I was like, oh, thank God.
Okay, let's talk about the solution a little bit, because here's the thing. Like, I get it. Like, you can't lose Charming or Snow White. It doesn't work that way. However, how many ways can we save the Charmings? Like, how many times is one of them going to come back from the dead?
Right. They just have a stash of Horcruxes.
Obviously.
I'm just very happy that they've stopped saying, I will always find you.
True, true.
They've been together for quite a while, so, you know.
Yeah.
The next time one of them goes to do that, I just want somebody to go, I know. You know,
or to
know.
Finish it for them. Like, Regina's standing there and goes, I will always find you. Yeah, okay, we know. Keep going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think the thing with the heart was kind of cheesy, obviously, because they share the same heart. Oh, my goodness. But at the same time, like, well, one, it was a good solution because, like you said, we can't lose either one of them. But also, I'm really interested in seeing, like, what sort of consequences this is going to have. And I have a feeling if something hurts one of them, it's going to hurt the other one. And I think that could be like a really cool conflict to explore maybe next season or something like that.
Well, was anybody else going like, Snow, you're pregnant. Like, check with your obstetrician before doing this. Like, did it just seem?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't even take freaking cold medicine, you know, without, you know, checking with your medical professional. I'm sure, like, ripping a heart out, splitting it in half, and reinserting it again will do absolutely nothing to the fetus. I mean,
well, we know
like,
that
what?
Possession doesn't hurt a fetus.
Apparently. Yeah, right. Considering they were sitting next to the incredibly large boiling cauldron, and then the Wicked Witch flew in, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to fairy tale world. Doctors are not necessary. it was questionable. That was probably my least favorite part of the episode, the whole heart thing, only because I feel like it's another way out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hope there is a consequence, because I feel like they're constantly escaping one way or another, and their reasoning is always true love. Like, at some point in time, true love doesn't solve every problem. Like, I know this is, you know, a fairy tale, but at the same time, I feel like something's got to give.
Along the same lines as what Karen was saying, I'm starting to think now that if one dies, the other's dying with them. Like, there's no way.
Because they share a heart, yeah.
Right. Like, since the heart is still whole, both halves exist, they're okay. But I really think that in the future, we're going to find out if one of them dies, the other dies. Which, honestly, if you're going to have Snow and Charming, I'd rather them, you know, be together wherever they're going to be. So that works for me.
Yeah, I get that, because that would be way depressing otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, she actually handled it a bit better than I thought she would. Like, when she had to take his heart. Like, it was weird. Didn't you guys think it was like it was just almost too easy?
Sort like, of. I mean,
yeah, it was a hard mix to follow.
Because I can see, like, his point of view, but seriously, like, crushing your true love's heart in your hand, even if it's the best thing for your baby, I don't know. That's, maybe she's just really, really tough, but I don't think most people would be able to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. So from there, we've learned that Snow does the curse. In the middle of the curse, Zelina comes zooming in on her broomstick, drops a little something into the curse potion, because, you know, and it turns green. And this is why we see a green curse everywhere. Every time the smoke monster comes and it's green, it's because Zelina put the you're going to forget all about everything curse in the bigger curse, if you get my drift. So that presents a problem. So while Snow did the original curse, Zelina added her own little spice to it to make them all forget so that they would know who she was, which only Zelina could do, really. So they all head back, but they don't know why they have to go back, which is a problem. Here comes even the bigger, more interesting, I think, aspect of the evening. Once everyone gets their memories back, they realize that they didn't send the potion and the note to Hook, because they now remember it didn't come from them. And at the same time, Emma is really angry with Hook about everything that happened with Henry, and she's kind of really mean to him, and they all call him a liar. And so Hook's kind of like on the outs with everyone, even though he was just trying to do what he thought was right. Didn't mean it was right. He just thought it was. And he tries to explain himself to Emma, but Emma really doesn't want to hear it. And do you guys think Hook's explanation could have been stronger? Like, do you think he would have said, I was trying to protect Henry because she threatened his life and I was trying to, you know, she said I couldn't tell you or she would start killing people. I don't feel like he defended himself very well. He let Emma believe that he did horrible things and that was he was working with Zelina. He didn't really fight to excuse himself.
Yeah, I did feel like that. And then I felt like part of it was like you're just protesting too much kind of thing. I think he's just so used to having been blamed as like the bad guy, the guy who's, you know, just lives up to his own worst reputation, that he just thought like, I keep trying to explain this away. Why bother? No one's going to believe me anyway.
Yeah, this is my least favorite trope, where it's like, if he had just explained himself in the beginning, everything would have been fine. If Emma just realizes that what he was doing was what he thought was best, everything would be fine. And I know that that creates conflict, but I think it's really unnecessary, especially with a villain like Zelina, where she's already producing a lot of conflict and kind of turning some people on each other. But maybe that's just because it makes me sad whenever everybody is against Hook, because they shouldn't be. I love Hook.
I just think with Hook, it's really overused. Like, he takes the blame for a lot of things. Like, let's give him something different. let's mix it up a little bit for him. I mean, I get that it's easy to pin the blame on him, but I feel like that's a constant kind of way to create tension between him and Emma that they've used frequently. So, I don't know. That was kind of annoying. Let's see. Oh, as they get the memories back, the other thing that comes up is Henry and Regina start to talk about his last year. And it's so he kind of looks at her, because that morning he had walked in on her and Robin Hood making out, not really caring at the time because he didn't know any better. But now he remembers why that's important, which was so funny. And so he's like, the guy? And she's like, yeah, his name is Robin. Like, oh, it was so perfect. Like, trying to watch Regina explain that was just amazing. And then he's like, Robin Hood? And he comes in the back door. And it was just, it was so funny watching Henry get so excited for Regina. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so cute, because it could have gone from an ugh, it could have been an ugh my eyes moment. And it was just more like, geez, old people making out in the hall. Like, it was funny.
Yeah, I'm just glad that Henry was so happy for her, and also that she was kind of happy for herself, and she didn't mind sort of like, you know, talking about it. I mean, she was a little uncomfortable, but she was okay with it in the end, I think. And they all sort of walked off together. And I just am really excited to see the relationship between the three of them and where that's going to go.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out. But I'm excited. And I was super, I just loved the way that Henry kind of was so accepting of everything in Regina's life. Like, he just wanted to be a part of her life again. Like, that kind of thing. I thought that was awesome. It looks like we lost Kristen. After the whole Robin Hood thing, Henry is allowed to go to Neil's gravesite and remember Neil for the hero that he was to Henry. And so Henry lays a red rose on his grave. And one of the last things we learn about Neil, and I don't think anyone else knows this except for Rumple, maybe, is that Neil is actually the one who sent the potion and the note to Hook, which to me is the most perfect ending for Neil in a lot of ways, because his last act was to get to Emma, was to get Emma to remember, was to get Emma to save them, because she's the only one that could. So he fought out of Rumpelstiltskin so that he could be Neil and to kind of make that happen for everyone, even though basically his life was over. What did you guys think about that?
Well, now I'm super depressed.
Sorry, but it's true.
I mean, it was really beautiful, and I'm glad that they decided to do that. Because, yeah, that the whole storyline never really made a lot of sense to me. I didn't quite believe that the Charmings were the one that had sent everything, but I didn't know what was going on. And for a minute there, I thought it was actually Zelina, and I was like, well, how does that play into her plan? And I was very confused, but I think the fact that not only that Neil did it, but that he had to sort of like fight his father to get out of him to do that sort of thing was really interesting.
See, for a minute, I thought it was going to be Rumble that did it. Like, I really, right, truly yeah. thought it was going to be Rumble.
Like, and just magicked it somehow or whatever, yeah.
Right, right. And then the whole, I totally forgot that Neil was even, like, in him at that time, to be honest. You know what I mean? So, and the fact that Rumple was getting ready to take the potion because memories, you know, revenge is better without the memories is what his, or with his memories. So he was going to take the potion. And so, I loved it. What did you think, Laura?
I really loved it, too, because just, it was just, for me, it was, I mean, I loved watching Neil fight his way out to, like, he knows on so many levels what he's saving. He's saving Henry, he's saving Emma, he's saving, like, he's sacrificing himself to save so many things, and that the one person he trusts, and it is a trust, to do something about it, is Hook. And I just thought it just brought the whole thing around so completely. I was like, oh, I was just like, oh my God, you know, it was just, you know, unbelievable.
Absolutely agree. I think it was fantastic. So the very last scene of this episode is Snow White going into labor. And that means Zelina's going to get what she needs, a baby, which is still so disturbing to me. So we get a preview from next week's episode, and none other than Dorothy Gale makes an appearance, which is kind of exciting. Were you guys surprised to see Dorothy? Was there an announcement that there was going to be a Dorothy in the episode?
I don't think so. I'm super surprised because I didn't see the preview, so this is the first time that I'm hearing about it, and that is awesome, because I've wanted her since we learned that the Wicked Witch was coming onto the show.
I love that she looked like a fairly young kid, that she didn't, like, Judy Garland obviously played the iconic role, and she's stylized very much like Judy Garland was in the famous 1939 movie. But, like, even though Judy Garland was a teenager, like, this kid to me looks like she's like 13, whereas Judy Garland to me looked like she was like 16 or 17. Like, I really love that she's a very young looking teenager. And I feel that has interesting potential.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because I was not expecting us to get a Dorothy either. So I'm hoping that she does some really cool things. We'll see.
The only thing that I'm left wondering is, like, so what happened to Glinda? She's still back in her little, like,
she's the Queen of the North. I don't know.
Yep.
Well, like, is anybody, like, concerned about, like, I feel like we just kind of left her there. Like, does anybody else feel like, are they just leaving her there? Or are they going to try to rescue her? Or, like, if they defeat Zelina, does all of Zelina's magic become undone so the monkeys go back to being people and Glinda, who was banished in the strange place of the north, isn't banished anymore? Like, I just feel like the Glinda plot point is going to get kind of dropped, and I'm going to feel bad if she's just kind of stuck there.
Yeah, they didn't really utilize her a whole lot for being, you know, Glinda the Good, but I don't know, maybe she'll come back up again later. We'll have to see. It was a very brief kind of, here's Glinda, and now she's gone.
Well, we are getting Dorothy next week, too, right?
Like, yeah, we talked about that a minute ago.
Okay.
Right, and who we clearly see, like, throws the water, and it does start to melt her. So that's interesting, too, or at least that looks like what we saw on the preview. So, you know, which I have to say makes me wonder, like, not for nothing, but they all know the story. Why has no one pitched a bucket of water at this woman yet?
I'm thinking the water doesn't actually work, that's kind of Zelina's ploy to fake out Dorothy for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's Max. I'm just like, man, the fire hoses. Like, seriously, just, you know, never mind the fireballs, chuck water at her.
Yeah, that just, again, makes me think of Wicked, where Elphaba just pretends like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what next week brings with Dorothy Gale and the bucket of water and all kinds of good stuff. And there are only, like, 3 episodes left, right? Are we down to the final stretch?
We definitely are. I don't remember how many are left, but we are definitely down to the final stretch.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of nervous. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts or any theories of anything that could happen in the upcoming episodes or for the finale?
I say people are going to start shipping Henry and Dorothy Gale. That's where I'm going. I know it's weird. I'm going down that route. Because like I said, our little Henry's growing up. I just feel like, you know, at some point, seriously, they have to acknowledge hormones kicking in. So I'm calling the Henry and Dorothy ship. So I'm sure people are going to go all sorts of caps locks of rage on me for that one. But that's what I'm calling.
Better than Henry and Red, so I'll back you up on that. Oh my God, that's
so wrong.
That's disturbing on lots of levels. So just to be clear, there's one episode and the 2-hour season finale left.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously. Mm. So technically 3 episodes on 2 nights, essentially.
That's really intense, actually.
Yeah, that 2-hour season finale is going to be brutal, I think.
And the first part is called Snowdrifts, which I feel like has 1,000 different meanings.
Yeah.
Between the actual snow, person right. named Snow, and Glinda. And, Glinda, you know, yeah, there's yeah. a million different ways that could be interpreted.
Oh, somebody will just come out and sing Let It Go, you know? I swear.
Well, somebody did mention that where Glinda was, they thought it was a nod to Elsa.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we're waiting for, I mean, they have to. It's their biggest movie. Like, they just have to, they have to do something with
well, it. Well, in the news, there was news about how they, like, talked to Kristen Bell about coming on and playing Anna.
Yeah, and she's up for it.
Of course she would. Like, she's awesome. I think she would do anything. And I think she would be so fantastic.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
So amazing. I love her. So that would be interesting if somehow Glinda ended up being Elsa kind of thing. That would be an interesting twist.
As far as theories go, I'm of the thinking that Henry and Emma are going to have to, like, work together, and maybe Henry, since he's, like, the product of True Love's product, that possibly his light magic could be very important. Like, I'm thinking maybe he has magic inside him, too, and that him and Emma are going to have to work together.
He's got to. I mean, I just can't imagine that he doesn't.
Right. It would be weird.
Right.
If he's just human and normal and has no magic. And
It would be disappointing.
Yeah.
Henry the Squib. It would just be disappointing.
Aww.
Yeah, it would, I don't know. Well, he was born in, like, our world, so it'd be interesting to see if that plays a role in it. Because he wasn't born in the Enchanted Forest. And the same with this baby. Because this baby is basically the equivalent of Emma. So what kind of power does this baby have that isn't even born yet?
True.
Do we have any votes on baby names?
Ooh. I kind of liked Leopold. Like, Leo as a short name.
Do you think they'll give them a baby boy, though?
I don't know.
It'll just be something too precious for words.
Of course. His mother is Snow White and his father is Prince Charming. Come on. So it'll be something ridiculous. But yeah, I'm just curious
they'll
to know.
They'll call him, like, Charming Snow or Snow Charming or... Charming snowing. White snowing.
Oh my. That would be just
my baby boy name.
Oh goodness. So yeah.
There's probably like, oh my gosh, there's probably like memes happening right now on what this child will be named.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because A, we're gonna have to have a baby name. And then the other thing is, what happens to Rumple? Like, what do you guys think is gonna happen to Rumple by the end of the episode? By the end of the season. Will he be free?
I hope so.
It will be so heartbreaking for Belle if he's not. Because she's been so all about, I know you're in there. And it's really you. And he's trying. Like the whole thing that he did last week on, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. You know, he's so, you know, kind of gotten his comeback and everything. It'll be very disappointing if he like has to die for real, because now then Belle's left alone too. It's like, I mean, I guess like he could, you know,
but they made it very clear that they wouldn't be killing Rumple off,
right?
So I think he's safe. I just don't know if the issue with Zelina is going to be resolved in 3 hours. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you think that she'll be resolved?
I just don't want one more multicolored smoke monster. I think I could live with just about anything other than one more multicolored smoke monster. I don't want that.
I think I would be happy if maybe Zelina maybe her storyline isn't wrapped up in a nice little package. Like maybe they get her, like they get out from under her thumb, but she's still out there so that she could still, you know, return next season or whatever. But I would really like to see Belle get control of the Dark One's dagger so that she can give it to Rumple and give him his freedom back.
I mean, I do kind of like, I'm just thinking about the end of season, what they did with The Walking Dead. Like a lot of times with a show like that, they've kind of, and Game of Thrones does it too, like they'll kill off somebody and then the next episode is sort of like a little bit of follow-up through that, and then it's like, and moving on to the next series. What they did this year is they just kind of left everybody alive and left you hanging on, oh my gosh, like what happens next. So I wonder if they'll do kind of like a cliffhanger in the present. Does that make sense? Like not, you know, like just, you know, putting like everybody in an epic danger, but not like sending them back again. Like, I feel like they can't go to the, I'm going to send you somewhere else thing one more time. Like that doesn't work. Even though that is what they've been threatening to do. So I don't know. I feel like that's pushing it one more time, that they should just leave us a little bit hanging before we take the trip back in time, since that's what she was threatening.
There's a part of me that would not, I really would be curious to see what they would do with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, even if we just visit it, like, what would that be like? What would it look like to have all these characters totally misplaced in who they are because Zelina's now got what she wanted? Like, I find that, like, such an interesting story to tell. Well, that's so different.
Well, here's the thing. In order for them to go back in time, for Zelina to have any potentiality at her happy ending, do they not have to go back to when they're all teenagers or younger? I mean, doesn't that put, like, a tremendous number of cast members out of work, not to put, you know, too fine a point on it?
Well, it would definitely be different. But right. maybe we could just see the repercussions of that.
Right. So, like, the Snow White kid gets to come back, but everybody else is gone. I mean, it just, you know, so I don't know.
But maybe we don't see exactly when Zelina goes back, but we see the repercussions of it. When Zelina is, you know, in her 20s, what does that look like? Is Regina even alive?
Oh, it's kind
do
of
you know
like,
what I mean? Like,
oh my God, it's like, Once Upon a Time, the It's a Wonderful Life version.
Or Back to the Future, whatever, you know. Whatever works. So yeah, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like morbidly curious to see what she would choose to keep and who she would choose to keep. I don't think that's they're going to be their end game. Although, like I said, I am a little bit fascinated by it. I don't know. I have a feeling something bad's going to happen to Hook. Not like death, but perhaps total separation from the group again, because I feel like they're setting that up again between him and Emma. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're never going to have their happy ending, as far as I'm concerned at this point, because everything gets in the way. Like, nothing is ever, like, okay between them, even when we think it is. So I think something will happen to that dynamic to either make it solidified that it'll work or solidified that it won't. Like, I definitely have a feeling about that lovely ship. It's either going down or it's heading out full sails. So I'm not sure which, but it kind of has to be a little bit more decisive, I think, than it has been. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Since Neil's gone now, something definitely needs to happen one way or the other. I don't know. I just feel bad for Hook. I just want him to be happy, you guys. Is that too much to ask?
Me too. Yeah, no, I think they have to do something. It's either going to be definitively one way or definitively the other at the end of the season with, you know, room to move next year. They can't leave it just will they, won't they over the summer. I don't think they will.
No, it becomes annoying. Like, will they, won't they is really good for a little while. Like, it's enjoyable. But I feel like this will they, won't they has been going on for like a year and a half. maybe that half was my wishful thinking. But, yeah. So I'm hoping there's some resolution to that so that we get a little bit of something going on there.
Maybe Henry sticks up for Hook. That would be nice. Like, kind of, you know, tells Mom. Like, hey, he was doing right. Like, he was trying. You know, he wasn't trying to hurt me. He was trying to save me. Like, that would be kind of cool.
I mean, I feel like somebody needs to kind of just step in and be like, Emma, what do you want? Because I feel like this is more about Emma's indecision than it is about Hook being wrong. Like, it gives Emma another excuse. It's not that he was actually wrong. It's not even that she believes that he tried to wrong her. It's that she's indecisive, and it's easier to be angry than to own anything with him. I don't know, that could just be my thinking. So I don't know. If any of our listeners have thoughts and theories about what the conclusion of this season will bring, please make sure to leave them in the comments, because I'm super curious and I clearly don't have anything good. Does anyone else have anything for this episode?
Nope.
Okay.
So that wraps up this episode of Onceable. We'll be back again next week. And only two more episodes left, including the 2-hour season finale. So until then, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Bye.